Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I've got quite a bit I want to cover in today's show. In fact, I have five different ways that real estate's going to make you money, as opposed to your money only earning money in one form or fashion or another. Real estate ties five different ways of making money all together into one system. So I'm going to show that to you today, explain each of those five to you and how they work. But before we get started, there was an event that I woke up to this morning I thought was very interesting, and that was where I keep my money is in different piles, of course. One of the ways I segment my money is by businesses and by different types of real estate investment. So I have my apartment money, I have my commercial real estate money, and then I have my investment money in other types of investments like my software companies, my grocery stores, on and on and on. So one of the interesting things was one of those buckets filled up to the point today where there's enough in there to buy another piece of real estate. And I was sitting there looking at it going, boy, this is amazing. Because I make more money than I need, and I think we could set most of you up to that point at some point in the future. If you get started, you first build up to the amount you need to survive. And then you build past that, just like when you had a job, you can earn more than what you need so you can save money. Well, we earn money and we save money, and then we earn more money and we save more money, and so on and so forth. However, at some point, the savings build up to where you've got enough money to buy another piece of real estate. So in most beginner situations, you might start with houses. And so you've got this rental income coming in from one house, and then two and three or four or five, or maybe you buy a fourplex and you get a large chunk of cash flow all at once, and these things start putting out money. And because you've already got your job or you've already got other passive investments, and these investments are just in addition to that which you already need to survive on, you are going to take this money and just let it sit there in an account somewhere, earning interest. And you watch it. Then eventually you decide what to do with it. Well, you can't take every little dollar out as it comes out of your investments and invest it. It's not large enough to go make something happen. So what happens is you save it. I keep mine in savings accounts. They pay somewhere around 4.5%. Other people like other types of vehicles. That just happens to be mine because it's FDIC insured. And you say, well, Del, you can only put $250,000 in there. Well, long story short, you can put $500,000 in there if you're married. And you can put more if you put your kids on the accounts. But let's just say $500,000. And, of course, then you start getting yourself different savings accounts. I have many, many, many savings accounts, so many I don't even want to admit it. But the reality is, at some point, that total in those savings accounts from these passive investments adds up to enough money to buy another investment. And so if it were a rent house, you know, you might have four, and it adds up, and you say, okay, now it's time to buy number five. And it's interesting because you may want to buy more right away. You might go, okay, let's go borrow against the house to get some money to buy something. let's go sell that third car we don't need to get some money to buy something. Let's go pull out our IRA or 401k to get some money to buy something. Let's sell stocks, bonds, or whatever other things we have and get some money to buy something. All of that is taking money you already have to buy something. What I'm talking about is something completely different. This is where the investments you've made created enough money to go buy more investments. This is just crazy stuff. You know, you talk about compounded interest. This is not compounded interest. This is compounded investments, where the investments put off enough money to buy more investments. And when you get to that point, whether it be single-family houses or small apartment complexes, you see people go from, you know, one apartment to two apartments to three, four, five, and so on and so forth. Whatever it is you do, right, whatever it is that you enjoy doing as your type of investment, when you get to that point that it throws off enough money to be able to put out another one, boy, that's a real good thing. And in general, I'm able to produce every year at least one more property, sometimes two and three more properties, just from the money that was made from the other property. Of course, what you have to understand is once you buy more properties, then you have more income. So that savings factor grows. And this is what I'd like to be able to introduce you guys to, is passive income that grows over here. It doesn't just earn income. Today I'm going to talk about five different ways we make money with real estate. But it doesn't just sit over here and you know, like your 401k, you got a piece of paper and a number might get bigger on the piece of paper. I mean, that's not that exciting. But seeing money come out of it and that money pile up to where you can take that money and go buy something else that's going to put out more money that's going to pile up. That's the type of stuff that really makes this stuff exciting. It's like anything else. It's just like when I work out. The harder I work out, the better the gains I get, the more excited I get. The more excited I get, the more I want to work out. The more often and consistently I work out, makes me want to stay on my diet. The more I stay on my diet, the better I look. The better I look, the more I want to work out. The more money I make, the more money I want to invest. The more money I invest, the more money I make. It's that way in life. The more love you give out to your family, the more love you get back. It's this constant concept that put out, put out, put out, and receive. Yet most people are living from the complete opposite of that. Where am I going to get something from? You owe me. The world owes me. I need some money. Give me some money. Give me something. That's where most of the world lives. It's really interesting to see, as you look at the political arguments that go on, how some people feel that they're entitled to be taken care of. And other people feel, I don't even have time to talk about it. I'm too busy working, providing. Think about that. I can't even get into this argument with you. I'm out here producing something, and you're sitting there crying that you're entitled to something. These differences in the way you live your life means everything when it comes to the end. And yet, there's going to be people who are going to try to talk you out of making those types of changes, whether it be become financially free, to become wealthy, or whether it be to lose weight, get in shape, and look great, feel great, and live a great life. Some of them aren't going to want you to have a happy marriage. They want you to stay in a sad, bad marriage. And what I'm saying is, you can change all those things. Your life is a series of choices. You have to decide what you want. There's a book out there called How to Live Free in an Unfree World by Dr. Brown. How to Live Free in an Unfree World. Beautiful book about how people try to control and manipulate you. There's another book out there called Pulling Your Own Strings by Dr. Wayne Dyer. Another book about how the world tries to hold you down, control and manipulate you. If you feel you're one of those people that just can't get out from underneath this control manipulation of your spouse, your family, your kids, your boss, the government, if the world seems to have a thumb on the top of your head holding you down, I want you to go out and get those two books. Pulling Your Own Strings by Dr. Wayne Dyer is probably the better of the two to start with. And then How to Live Free in an Unfree World is a more advanced book on how to live in society and not let society control and manipulate you. If you read those two books, I think you will totally change the way you see the world and immediately start getting out there and making changes. And then someday, you'll call me up and go, Dell, you know that thing you talked about on that radio show one day years ago? It just happened to me. My investments just produced enough income that they're screaming at me, hey, it's time to buy some more. And here's the money to do it. That's when you know you've made it. When your investments replicate themselves. When you have the investment snowball growing and growing and growing to the point where it's rolling downhill so fast, you got to get out of its way. All right, let's move on. You know, you get up and go to work every day for cash flow. You get paid regular, reoccurring paycheck, weekly, monthly, quarterly, whatever you get paid, you get up for that paycheck. You need that cash flow. You cannot retire until you have cash flow. So let's look at your options. You could put money in a 401k and your cash flow is zero. You could put money in an IRA and your cash flow is zero. You can pay off mortgage payments early on your house and your cash flow is zero, right? So there are so many things that they're telling you. You're supposed to invest your money to produce income for yourself. These are not producing income. These are simply sitting there and gambling. What do I mean by gambling? They're gambling because what they're doing is they're hoping somebody that's dumber than you are will come along and be willing to pay you more than what you paid for whatever it is that you're holding on to. This is called the greater fool theory, that there's always somebody out there dumber than you are. And the really sad part is that someday you find out, nope, I was the dumb guy. I'm stuck with this, and it's not doing anything. You don't realize you're the dumb guy. They're telling you you're a smart guy to do what they want you to do, and you're doing what they want you to do, but they're taking all that money, guys, and they're investing into real estate. They're taking all that money, investing into businesses that put off income. I have companies and investment. I have businesses I'm invested in that put off income. I have software companies. I have mortgage companies. I have real estate sales companies. These companies all are businesses that put off income. I don't work in any of them. I'm not a real estate agent. I'm not a mortgage salesperson. I'm not a real estate salesperson, right? I'm not a software engineer nor anything. I own companies. They pay me income. You don't earn any income. Your investments earn nothing. Now, let's say you put in something that does earn income, like a CD or a savings account. All right, well, at least we've got some money coming in. And by the way, money that I have not invested into a good, solid business yet, whether it be real estate or some other business, money I have is sitting in savings accounts. Could be CDs, could be savings accounts, could be money markets. You know, there's a multitude of choices out there. But the bottom line is, if it's not earning something, you're losing money because inflation is making that money be worth less every day. So there, that must be cash flow. But an even greater reason for the need to have cash flow is that without cash flow, you'll never replace your earned income. You'll never retire. So how do we get cash flow from a rental property? Well, let's say that we rent the property out for $1,500 a month, and our principal and interest, taxes, insurance, maintenance, repair, add up to $1,000 a month. Well, there's $500 a month that's cash flow to us. Now, what if there's an additional, you know, maintenance call somewhere along the line? Well, then maybe we don't make that much that month, but we make more the next month. Right? So on and so forth. So, well, what if it's a giant expenditure? Well, we take care of the giant expenditures up front. That's part of what we do. When you do this correctly, and that's a very big point, can you lose money in real estate? Yes. Can you do it wrong? Absolutely. Can our 35 years of experience and tens of thousands of examples help you do it the right way? Yes. And if you do it the right way, then you mitigate risk. You don't eliminate total risk in anything in life. I mean, the government could change something tomorrow and change the whole world. There's no complete elimination of risk. You mitigate the risk that you can see. But the idea is there's cash flow. So whether your cash flow is $200 a month, $400 a month, $600 a month, or maybe you buy a fourplex and it's $1,000 a month right out of the blocks. You know, I've seen deals like that where you make really good cash flow on something like a fourplex, buy it really cheap. High rents, good property, good neighborhood, boom, make it $1,000 a month. Think, first of all, to yourself, what would anywhere from 250 for one unit to 1,000 for four units, what would that $1,000 a month mean to you? Let's not get excited. Let's not get crazy. Let's not talk about retirement. Let's just talk about, honey, here's an extra $1,000 a month. What would she do with it? Would she buy jewelry, purses, and shoes? Would you buy stuff for the kids? Would you buy it? Would you go get a nicer car? $1,000 a month, you could probably upgrade your house. Think about it. Whatever quality of house you're living in today, you're already living in it, whether it be 2,000, 3,000, whatever it is, whether it be 20, 30 years old, 40, whatever it is, add $1,000 a month to the mortgage payment, what could you live in? And I think you could live in something pretty extravagant, to be honest with you. So $1,000 a month can completely change the quality of your lifestyle, whether it be what you live in or your automobile. Send your kids to college with that money. I mean, $1,000 a month's a lot. But we're saying when you first start out, you don't even have something pegged for that $1,000 a month. You're just making an extra $1,000 a month. And I'm just making up a number. It could be 500, it could be 2,000. It's, you know, it depends on what you go out and buy. Depends on how excited you are about what you're doing and how quickly you move on good deals. And they have to be good deals. You don't just buy, you have to buy good deals the right way. And if you do that, and then all of a sudden you've got that extra $1,000 a month, man. Now, what does it cost to buy a rent house? Well, let's say I go out and I buy a $200,000 house. I buy it for $100,000. It needs $50,000 to renovate it. I need to $150,000 to buy it. I can take after repaired value appraisal of $200,000 to my finance company, and my finance company will lend you $150,000 if you qualify. In other words, if you have decent credit. And then we then will give you the money to buy it and to renovate it. Once it's renovated, then we'll refinance you out of that money, that hard money loan, and put you into a long-term mortgage. So we're going to charge you a fee on the first loan, and we're going to charge you a fee on the second loan. So, and there may be some interim interest on the first loan. So somewhere between $10,000 and $20,000 out of pocket, you're going to be able to have a rent house that you made in this case, in this particular example I made up for radio here, somewhere around $50,000 captured equity, which we haven't got into yet. But besides that fact, we're in it. The point I'm making is we're in it for somewhere between $10,000 and $20,000. So, boy, that's quite a deal. Let's take a short break. We'll come back. We'll do some numbers and play around with that and talk about the other four ways you make money with real estate. Right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today I'm showing you through demonstration, explanation, and so forth, why real estate investing is so much better than any other type of investing you've looked at, and how we make money in five different ways at the same time, while you guys are just earning just insignificant amounts of money in one way in each investment that you do. So we went through cash flow and we showed that, you know, we probably can make somewhere around 12%. We talked about making $200 a month positive cash flow is probably the minimum we would want to go after. Typically, it's between $200 and above, $300, $400, $500 per door of cash flow. You say, well, is it always $200? Well, look, if it isn't $200, then I'm going to say, no, I don't want to do it. You know, could there be stuff that has less cash flow? Yes. Could you buy stuff you paid too much for? Absolutely. Could you buy stuff that the cost of operation makes it where there's no cash flow at all? Absolutely. So why don't you do that? Because we teach you not to. And because if you're smart and once you know how to do the calculations and the analysis, you won't do that. So I just picked the bottom number that we would look at for ourselves and our investors would be around $200 a month cash flow. Some people might go lower. Why might somebody go lower on cash flow? Because they got a greater captured equity. They might say, wow, I can make so much money on this on the back end, you know, then I might as well take the smaller cash flow. But irrespective of that, let's just say $200 a month times 12 months, that's $2,400 a year. And let's take we're out of pocket on this deal, $20,000. That was the explanation that we went into in the last segment. So that gives us about a 12% return. Now, Like I said, my CDs, my money markets, my savings accounts are all earning about 4.5. So that's about 3 times better than where I could earn cash flow somewhere else. The next thing we move on is equity capture. And I told the story of how we go out and we buy that $200,000 house for $100,000 that needs $50,000 in renovation. The reason we buy it for $100,000 is because nobody wants it. I mean, it's a piece of garbage. And to fix it, the average person doesn't know how to do that. They're going to have to, number one, put up the money to buy it and then $50,000 more to repair it. They would have to come up with $150,000. Even if they were to go borrow the money for the $100,000 purchase, the bank won't lend them the money because the property's in too bad of repair. So they'd have to pay cash. So people to go out there and pay cash, pay $100,000 plus $50,000, you got $150,000 wrapped up in this thing. But when you're done with the renovation, yes, it's worth $200,000. You made $50,000 on $150,000, which is not bad. It's about a 30% return. But that's not what we're doing. We're buying it, and we're borrowing all the money to do the renovation and purchase. So we own the property. And the only out-of-pocket money we have are the two closings that we did on the deals. So we have $10,000, it's $20,000. So we made $50,000. Now, what I'm going to say is, let's not even say we did as well as a $50,000 capital gain. Let's just say a $40,000 capital gain. And if we had a $40,000 capital gain and we had $20,000 out-of-pocket, that would be a 200% return. Now, right there, how long does it take for your stock market to go up in equity by 200%? It's almost impossible to even imagine, isn't it? It does happen, by the way. The stock market does go up that much. I mean, the stock market is at 40,000 something right now, which was before at 10,000, was before that 5,000. I mean, so it does go up. But how long would it take? We just instantly, by force of nature, by willpower, forced an equity capture of a 200% return, $40,000 capture on a $20,000 investment. That's just so much better than what you can do out there in the stock market or anything else that you're looking at investing in, right? So the next one is the one that's really interesting. Now, that one's the big one. That's generally the largest amount of money portion-wise we make. But it's not the most exciting to me. The cash flow is the most exciting to me. But the equity is, for people trying to build wealth, that's exciting. For me, having wealth, then the cash flow becomes the most important. Now, I also changed that. When I first started, the cash flow was the most important because it was the cash flow that allowed me to quit my job. So until I had enough cash flow was everything. Equity meant nothing to me. Later on, once I had plenty of cash flow, then go, wow, how can I make some nice equity in some of this stuff and really get wealthy? And when I started doing that, I made gigantic equity captures that changed my net worth radically. But that's way later on in my investment career. At first, I just wanted to get enough cash flow that I could retire. The next one is market appreciation. And this one is probably one of the most misunderstood or lied about, misrepresented one of all of them. Let me give an example. It has been said in the marketplace forever that the stock market appreciates about 12% a year on average over every 10 years or whatever. I don't know exactly how you explain that, but that's kind of the argument was always said. And that real estate appreciates at only about 6% per year. And so it's at a much lower rate of appreciation, right? And or gold or silver or whatever go up and down with the economy, which means nothing, because if you ever listen to the salesman on the silver and radio stations, they go, Robert Kiyosaki said this. I thought it was the dumbest thing I've ever heard Robert Kiyosaki say. He said, if you buy silver today at the prices it is today, and it just goes back to what it was, you'll have a 50% gain. Well, or 100% gain. Well, do you understand that means that whatever it was had a 50% loss? And he's telling him, my customers just lost 50%, but you can get in and make 100% gain. That does happen in almost all investments. They go up and down. There's no doubt about that. But it's just the very thought that that's the way to argue the point kind of hit me wrong. So let's talk about appreciation. Let's just go with those numbers and say the stock market goes up by 12% and homes go up by 6%. Why is the house still better? Well, I'll tell you why. Let's take the house. The house is worth $200,000 that we use in this example. And if it goes up by 6%, 200,000 on 6%, let me out the calculator here, 200, make sure I'm doing it right on air, times 0.06%. That's a $12,000 gain. So what return is that? Well, Dell, it's obvious it's a 6% return. No, because we only have $20,000 in this house. So you divide that by 20,000, which is our investment, and that is a 60% return. Wow. So the stock market's going for 12. This is going for 60%. Unbelievable. 6% on it. Yeah, that might be wrong. Let's do that. Let's do that a different way. 6% return divided by 20 is 30% return. My bad. Boom. It's a 30% return. Okay? So stock market is 12. Our single family house appreciation is 30 if we're using the typical type of inflationary characteristics that they would throw out at you if you looked into this stuff. So there you go. I mean, 12% compared to 30%, that's more than double. That's like 250% better, right? And I always think it's interesting to look at numbers because people, when they look at numbers, they make this mistake. So, you know, Dell, I'm earning 4% and you're earning 5%. You're not doing, or I'm earning 1%, you're earning 2%. How's that much better? Well, 2% is 100% better than 1%. If you're earning 6 and I'm earning 12, that's not 6% better. That's 100% better than what you're doing. Now, let me say that again. If you're earning 6 and I'm earning 12, that 12 is 100% better than your 6. It's not 6% better. I know it's only 6 points difference, but percentage-wise, it's 100% better. And it's those kinds of numbers, the understanding of those kinds of numbers that allow wealthy people to be wealthy. Now we're going to talk about principal reduction. Mortgage payment is being paid off by our tenants. Bizarre thing. There is a mortgage payment. It's being paid. We're not paying it. Our tenants are paying it. So we borrowed $150,000. And we have to pay it off over 30 years. So $150,000 divided by 30 years is $5,000 a year divided by 12 months a year. That's $416 a month we're paying off in principal. You say, well, it's not like that in the beginning. No, it's not. But that's how much we're on average paying off a month, right? So what is it in the beginning? In the beginning, it might be $8 a month. So $8 times 12. Let's talk about this here. 8 times 12. Well, these mortgages are much larger. I'd have to look up. I should look it up. Actually, should have looked it up on a mortgage calculator. But let's say it's about $16 a month. $16 a month times 12. $192 a year. So $192 a year on $20,000 is about 1% return on a mortgage reduction. But you have to understand, that's in the beginning. That amount goes up each and every year. In fact, it goes up every single month. And by the end, you get the end, the whole mortgage payment is almost all principal, very little interest. And so literally, you know, your tenant's paying $1,500 a month, your mortgage is $1,000. 800 of it, 700 of it might be the principal reduction. The other 300 is taxes and insurance on the mortgage and or some percentage. I'm just making those numbers up, but you get the idea. If the average, if it pays off $150,000 over 30 years, that's $416 a month that your tenant is paying off your mortgage on average over 30 years. I mean, you're just not getting that in any other investment. That's a complete extra that's on top of everything else we do. In fact, it's, to me, owning tons of real estate, that little piece is kind of like the extra icing on the cake. It's the thing you never look at, you never pay attention to, and the only time you ever do realize it is if you either refinance your property and pull that equity back out that you've been paying down, or if you sell the property and have that giant equity capture. Now, the last one is probably one of the most interesting, and that is tax advantages. I mean, people ask all the time. In fact, people get mad at me on Instagram, on Twitter, on YouTube, and I do live videos, and the comments are always, you're the scum that gets away with paying no taxes. You're why our country's where it is. No. No, that's not true. Tax-advantaged investments were designed to get people to do what they need you to do. The reason real estate has been so tax-advantaged for 50, 100 years, whatever it's been tax-advantaged, I think forever, is that there's not enough housing. And anything and everything they can get people to do to put up with tenants, to put up with destructive human beings that can't save enough money to go out and keep a job long enough to pay consistently on a mortgage, to have good credit, whatever. And so the government goes, if we don't make this something people want to get into, nobody would do this business, right? And so they've created massive tax advantages to investing in real estate because they need it. I heard on TV the other day that there is something like a 30 million home shortage in this country. In other words, they need to build instantly another 30 million homes. And the argument is, well, it's not going to happen because the Democrats have put so much stuff in the way of getting it done, so many laws and rules and regulations and stuff that builders can't build it. In fact, the cost of building a home right now has a governmental burden of $185,000 a house. In other words, just to comply with housing requirements, it costs a builder on average $185,000 per house. So obviously you can't build small houses. There's no profit in them. You have to buy have to build a $1 million home. And new buyers can't afford those. So if you build a $300,000 home, $185,000 of it goes to governmental requirements, man, there's just not a lot left. So this is the problem. There's not enough housing. And I don't know what they think they're going to do. I mean, in the government, you know, they got this guy out in New York who says he wants to, he's a socialist who's going to take everybody's assets away from them and give housing away for free. I don't know how you do that. I mean, no one's going to build any more of it if you're doing that. And who's going to maintain it? Every time they've tried to create government housing, and everywhere they tried it in Chicago, they tried it in New York, they even tried it in Houston, Texas. Every governmental housing building they ever put up gets destroyed by the tenants because there's no home ownership. There's no respect. There's no anything. So having said that, what are the tax advantages? Well, we use depreciation to be able to deduct the depreciation, which is a paper loss, which is saying the property is losing value, which it really isn't. It's a fake loss. And write that off the income so we don't pay income taxes. Amazing stuff. And Trump has made it even better. So there you go. All different kinds of income. Very low income tax. What else could you ask for? The answer is nothing. Let's get you in here and get started as soon as possible. And remember, it's not just for the money. It's for the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.